If you have your Bible, start to find your way to Psalm 37. When we talk about money and we talk about giving, we talk about being a steward and trying to be a wise investor, we have to take in consideration the totality of Scripture, what all that God has to say to us. You realize that Jesus, in his ministry, spoke about money giving about 25% of all of his time. And the reason he did so was because money can become so quickly a little god that rules us and desires to dethrone everything in this world besides God, or including God. It desires to destroy who we are. And this is why Jesus, when he's even speaking about it, says the love of money, not money, but the love of it, the desire for it, the desire to hold it, control it, and manipulate it is sinful pride and arrogance for us. You realize the love of money isn't just a sin, but it's a multiple sins. It's idolatry, meaning we set up this idol that we worship and we pray to and we hope everything works out financially. And it's also adultery, that we're cheating on our Father in heaven for a thing of quick lust that has no longevity to it at all. And so when Jesus speaks of money, he speaks of these things, he's trying to give us this greatest warning. He loves us so much that he wants to warn us. And so we must be wise in our investment. We must be wise in our money and how we give everything over. We see that without faith, and we talk about how we trust God. Look at Matthew 16, 27. Just listen, not look. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? So often we run after pleasures and things of this world instead of God to find success, to find value, to find self-worth. And that's where a lot of times we throw money into that category. But as a church, we have to spend time, lots and lots of time, praying over what God has in store for money, finances that he has blessed us with. And this is what we pray often. God, give us, the church, wisdom to be a wise steward. A steward is one that invests, not hoards. Sometimes the worst thing that we can ever do is have this huge nest egg of money and we do nothing with it. And what would we ever say to God the day that he comes home or comes back to take his bride, takes us home with him, and we say, and he asks us, what did you do with all those gifts, all those monies that I blessed you with? And we say, well, we were storing them up for a rainy day. But we have to be wise. We have to be wise in how we invest into the future, invest in the now, invest what God has called us to invest in. And so we have to seek God for wisdom. If you look at Psalm chapter 37, verse 21, I would challenge you to look at all of 37 in its context. David is writing and he's talking about delighting himself in God and trusting in God and putting his hope and his faith in God. And then verse 21, he says, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. Now listen, I understand there are those in Christian financial ministries that talk about they want to throw debt all into the category of sin. And if we want to go extremely legalistic, in which I always err on, and it's a curse, I think, or a blessing at times, sometimes we try to err on the side of caution and maybe become very legalistic. And a lot will argue that all debt is sin. But if it is, then why are there some principles laid out in Scripture about it? See, Old Testament debt that is talked about as sin was in an agricultural setting. It was when a person would sell off family heritage, family land, when they would go into debt and they would be enslaved to someone else because percentage interest rates started at 20%, 30%, and often 50%. I would go in the banking business at that point in time. That they would be take so much advantage of. And then they also had the year of Jubilee, that every 7 years, all debts were clean and clear. So sometimes, because man is sinful, those that would want to go in debt would try to go into an absorbent amount of debt in year 6 and a half, knowing that 7 is all going to be taken care of and cleared away. And so they had to put some stipulations in, like you can't go in so much debt in year 6 and a half. And then oftentimes they say you couldn't go in debt at all, but here's the kicker, and some of you can't go back to the Old Testament, you could sell off your child instead. You can't do that this time, okay? No matter how frustrating you are at that point in time, it's not the best return on the investment. I promise you, pouring into that child, the return in the investment later on, every grandparent would agree, is worth it. Amen? It's when you have those grandchildren. My dad says often, if I knew how great grandchildren were, I would have started with them and skipped children altogether. But so often we're pouring in, we're investing in. And so some will take that legalistic approach and say we can't have debt at all. But the truth is, there are a lot of debts that are sinful. But there's also debts at times that's a wise investment. As we pray as a church, I want you to consider and think about God's faithfulness here at First Baptist Sepulpa. I want you to think about this for a moment. I know churches that went in debt into the millions of dollars in the late 80s that they're still in million-dollar debt today. Churches celebrate going into a $600,000 debt that they paid off in 25-year time frame. Sometimes we try to jump ahead of all that God has for us, and we try to plan and manipulate everything, and we say, if we can just do it now, and we consider what he has in store for us, then we're acting in foolishness. But when we trust in him, when we walk through this, and I'm always astonished, and the more I look at the numbers, and the more I see, I want you to think through this for a moment. We borrowed, we had a line of credit, and we had more than we could borrow, but we borrowed from 2011 till 2018, in that whole time frame, $567,000, give or take a dollar. And then we paid that all off in less than 7 years. And in that 7-year time frame, we paid about $35,000 in interest. That we, as a church, would have taken that in consideration in how we even go about getting a loan. We take those funds and we invested them back into our community because of the connections of banks and relationships we have. It wasn't just throwing it away. It wasn't just washing it under the car and saying it's not a big deal. Because it's an investment. So often in that time frame of we spent over $2.6 million because of God's faithfulness and through people giving, and we became wise stewards and invested into what he has in store for us. And we continue to invest and continue to invest. And sometimes if we didn't have that ability, we would have missed out on so many things that God had for us. But it takes wisdom. Do you know where wisdom comes from? The counsel of many. The fool thinks he's right in the counsel of seven men. It's that we have so many people that come, it's the reason we utilize the church and the family of God to come and to poke holes in everything that we have in order to build it better, to build the plan better, that we have financial security, we have financial accountability with one another. St. Augustine said it this way, God made us men to long after him. So he says, man is restless until he finds his rest in God. You know what I love about our church? I love that there's really nothing that has cobwebs growing in it. I would rather have holes in the wall, and I don't want them, but I'd rather have holes in the wall because it's overused by children, youth, and those crazy senior adults on game day. Than cobwebs in a room that it's never being used. Now listen, I've been a part of a church, on staff of a church, that built buildings younger than the brick and stopped using the building and let it become so dilapidated that it couldn't be restored, but instead going to be leveled to be a future building someday down the road. Now, I don't really believe that's what God has in store for us as being wise stewards, investors. We are supposed to take care of the very things he's given to us. Whether it's a junky old car that we don't even like, but you take care of it, you pay for it, you clean it, you see it as a gift from God. If you go over to our brick today and think of the history that has been in the brick, the old sanctuary, and you see what it's being used for today, you will do nothing but want to praise God that he is faithful to continue using the gifts that were given over 100 years ago to build a building for God's glory. That we utilize these things that God has called us and commissioned us as a church to be a downtown location, to be a light here. It doesn't mean that he's going to say all the numbers and all the people, but he says, you just remain faithful. You trust in me here, and I'll honor you. You pay back what you borrow, and you pay it off quicker than you can. That's what it is to be wise with what God has given to you. That you're trusting in him, that you're truly giving over to him. There's so many that have invested, so many that have given and given over to God. But Isaiah says in chapter 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, and that is my name and my glory. And I give it to none other, nor my praise to any carved idols. Our God is jealous over us. He longs for us to be in this relationship with him, to trust in him, to have hope in him. And so he says, listen, my name is what's going to be glorified, not the paint on the building over there. My name is what's going to be glorified, not the lights and the technology in this sanctuary. But it's Jesus Christ. But he has blessed us with these things so that we're going to use them for his glory. Whatever it is, it can be anything from a broom to a light board. We're going to use it for the glory of God. I just want to use everything up. I want it to be on its last leg when Jesus comes home, comes to take us home. And it's all been used for his glory. That we don't hold anything back. We continue to invest into his kingdom. We know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who walk by faith. He rewards those that walk by faith. You remember the story of Jesus going back to his hometown? He's there and he's loving on them. He's carrying on. He's done all these signs, these miracles, these wonders throughout the region. And he comes home and they don't believe. They don't trust in him. They don't really think much of him. It's just Jesus. It's not a big deal. And he says, and he did not do mighty things there because of their unbelief. And there's many, even in our congregation, that didn't give because they spent time with God and God made it clear to them that this wasn't part of their journey to give for this program. But maybe somebody didn't give because they just didn't believe in the future. Maybe they didn't give because they didn't have faith to trust in God and say, well, it's not going to work. It's not going to give. It's not going to come out. I don't have the funds right now. I don't want to. And it just comes back as a church, as a family of God, we are to come together and believe that this is what God has in store. Listen to me, church family, as we conclude and we walk through what it is just to be wise investors. Do not rule out hope. Never bet against hope. Never bet against Jesus Christ, who is the author, perfecter of our faith. Who desires to show himself, magnify himself to the masses for everybody to see his glory. Don't rule out what God has in store to do through you, what he's going to do in your life. I have vowed, my wife and I and our family, it has no matter, no bearing on us at all what God wants to do with us. We just want to know what he wants to do through us, what he's going to carry on to that next generation. Can you imagine? Can you imagine over 100 years ago, a group of people sitting over in the old sanctuary? I wonder what it's going to look like in 100 years from now. They could have never envisioned this, could they? This whole thing called AC that's not on today. This whole thing of electricity and lights and sounds and all that we have, they couldn't even envision it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't put their hands on it, but they were faithful, and we thank God for them. We don't even know their name. They are those that are in Hebrews chapter 11 that says we're not even worthy to know who they are at this time. But someday I can't wait to run up to one of them and say thank you. Thank you for being faithful to give. We're just celebrating. Just celebrating who God is, how good he is, and how much he loves us.